What a welcome.
Wow. Well.
Welcome, friends, to Inks and Issues. This is a podcast where we normally do kind of a book club thing, and we pick a comic or an arc within a comic, and we go through it beat by beat and discuss it and talk about what we like, what we don't like, what they could have improved. I'm your main host. I'm like the normal Jonah, except I'm from a universe where we only wear comic book t-shirts.
So just the regular universe then.
Shut up.
And I'm Karen, but today you can call me Negative Karen.
Nega Karen.
Oh, damn, I should have said that.
Yeah, I know. It's okay. That's why you need an editor. So do I.
I'm Mike Bachman, but today you can call me Psycho Ranger Dad.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
All right.
So today, like our normal live shows. Oh, by the way, GeeklyCon 2019, everybody. Am I right? So what we like to do at the live show is a little bit different. Instead of talking about a single comic, because we're like, don't expect everyone coming to the panel to have read a specific comic for us to talk about, we're going to be talking today about the multiverse. Not one specific one, just in general, some of the ones we find fun. And also, don't forget, does everyone have a bingo card? We will probably have to share pens. I'm sorry about that. We were not able to find a lot of markers.
Columbus, am I right?
Classic. And also, if you get a bingo, yell it out like you would expect to, and basically just the order of whoever is winning can come up and pick a prize from the front of this table.
You know what? I actually don't want you to yell bingo.
What do you want them to yell?
I want you to yell Shazam, or Excelsior, fucking, it's a bird, it's a plane, or something comic book related. If any of you yell bingo, I'm going to be really disappointed.
Dang. Hardcore. Here, Dad Karen over here.
Oh, that's way better. You can call me Dad Karen.
There you go.
There's the alternate universe where I have five children.
Wow. Dang. Okay.
That's a lot of children.
So I'm going to kick us off, because I wanted to talk a little bit about what we're defining as the multiverse. Everyone has seen Spider-Verse, I assume, at this point, the movie. They basically took a really popular comic of the Spider-Verse comic book, which was a big crossover event. It introduced new characters. It was really cool. And then they're like, hey, let's make an even better movie, because the comic still requires a lot of, like, who the hell is this guy? Whereas the movie doesn't, which is nice. So it's usually, you know, our familiar heroes, but different. It's kind of like fan fiction, but it's real. It's usually officially published. I think we are going to be talking about some that might toe that line a little bit today.
Some questionable examples.
Now, they officially did publish this.
Okay, well, there you go. And sometimes, but not always, it's canonical. So, like, these guys, you know, they're not part of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles canon, per se, but they do exist, but we're not talking about them. We're talking about the various iterations of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because it turns out every version that you've seen or read is considered part of the same multiverse. There's actually an issue from Mirage Studios where Galactos, very legally distinct from Galactus, by the way, rips open a dimensional portal to the Archie Comics verse, seen here, which is also the Eastman and Laird cover art, but also the 2007 and a CG animated movie, weirdly enough. So this is one of the first times they kind of are establishing, like, hey, all these turtles that you guys like, say, I'm old. I like the old animated show. I like the new IDW reboot. Technically, they could interact at some point, because why not? Oh, yeah. Also, remember Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles, if you're from the UK? They had their own comic, which was basically a retelling of the first bit of the animated series. But that only lasts until Shredder and Krang decide to open a dimensional gateway, where they find the Teenage Mutant Villain Turtles, who use shotguns and rob banks, and have to be stopped by the regular turtles.
Well, of course they have to be stopped.
Well, I mean, look at that Donatello. Look at that grimace on that face. I love Donatello, but this
I'm more concerned about the gun that he's holding.
No.
He's got a nasty face. Also, he has a gun.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and he's a turtle robbing a bank.
And that brings us to Turtles Forever, a TV movie where all of the Ninja Turtles kind of came together, because Ultron Shredder, who's from the 2013 cartoon, also is an alien and not just a ninja in that
version.
You say
Ultron.
Ultron.
Ultron. Yeah. Okay, so no. All right.
Ultron Shredder, he's an alien.
I'll put the phone down. I was calling the lawyers. But
okay. No. Legally
it's
distinct.
Okay, because they put that extra little Kirby bit on the end of the end.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Also, he, like, really, really hates the Turtles. Like, Shredder always kind of hates the Turtles, right? But he wants to wipe them from every universe, not just the one that he is currently in. So he gets this great plan to go back in time to the original black and white Eastman and Laird Turtles, because for some reason killing them will kill every other version of the Turtles, because multiverse? I don't know. They all are spawned from that version of the Turtles. So this is where we get official canonically, like, hey, all the versions up to this point are canonical, they're all connected, and as you can see, they even did a cool thing where they drew them all in the different art styles, which
so,
I appreciate.
If wiping out the black and white Turtles sends ripples throughout the multiverse, destroying all the other Turtles,
yes,
do they ever explain why that happens, or is it just kind of like these four black and white Turtles at some point burst forth their eggs that then ripped through the multiverse, spawning more turtles?
I believe it's supposed to be that is, they're like the Turtle Prime, I believe they're called. And if they're destroyed, all the other universes are splinters from that one.
Master splinters or?
No, regular, not master splinters, regular ass splinters. So if they are able to do that, then they can kill all the turtles. And by they, I mean old Tom Shredder. But the best thing that came out of all these multiverses is that we get to include Mutant Turtles, Chojin Densetsuhen, which was a two-episode OVA by TV Tokyo. In this iteration of the Turtles...
Wait, is that... Oh, no, I thought it was Batman for a second. I'm really excited.
It looks very much like Batman, but it is not.
I had a moment where I was thinking Wolverine.
Right.
In this one, they are still mutants, but then they find Mutastones, and they become Super Turtles for 3 minutes. 3 minutes of playtime. but of course, it's anime, so there's an evil version of the power. Shredder gets it, gives one to Rocksteady, one to Bebop. And he becomes...
Is that 3 minutes repeatable, or is it just like they get 1 3-minute shot, choose wisely?
I believe it's repeatable, but honestly, I've never been able to find this. So if anyone has a lead on it, please let me know. So he turns into Devil Shredder, because anime, with his pals Super Rocksteady and Bebop. So Turtles is good, is what I'm trying to say. I love it. So that's the Turtles verse, as far as I'm going to deep dive. Shall I continue?
Why are you asking me?
Because I didn't know if we wanted to trade back and forth, or do you want to just keep going?
Well, then we'd have to swap laptops, and that seems like a lot of effort.
That does sound like a lot of work.
Yeah. And I hate work.
Well, fair. Then when I'm done with my part, I can just sit over there.
Exactly. We can just swap chairs.
Nice.
Okay. And then Mike can sit here, and it'll be fun.
See, I'll fuck with the Ultimate Universe at all, like the Marvel Universe.
Fuck yeah.
Okay, so the Ultimate Universe, if you're not familiar, was Marvel saying, hey, you have to read like 300 issues of Spider-Man to know what the hell Spider-Man is doing right now. So let's not do that.
Because nobody fucking knows who Spider-Man is.
Well, you know, just in general. Not just Spider-Man. X-Men. Nobody's heard of them, right?
Mm. No, anyway, that's the first time I've ever heard that term.
One of the things I liked about it was the Fantastic Four got a reboot that was actually like halfway decent. I haven't checked if it holds up, but I'd like to sometime. We should do that.
I do remember it being very good.
Yeah. So they get to a point, I think like 20-ish, 21 issues in or so, where the ultimate version of Reed Richards, who's a teenager, is opening dimensional portals because he's a fool. And he contacts this one that's like, looks to us like the 616, like regular ass Reed Richards, and as you can see by this amazing illustration, they're very happy about finding each other. And Reed Richards, young Reed Richards, talks to this guy for a while, finds out him and Sue end up together, and he is very horny about this idea.
Cool and good.
But then when he opens the portal and is like, heck yeah, let's meet. Oops, they were zombies.
Right, I remember this. I remember that now. Fuck, that thing was so buck wild.
So, but they're not just regular ass zombies. They can talk, they're smart, they have their powers-ish, but they're also undead. So, like, they don't work always exactly the same, but it's 2005, so people go apeshit for that. I mean, Walking Dead is so popular that they just hire Kirkman to, like, write the rest of the series.
How is enhanced healing handled in the mutants? Because they all look like they've got, like, their flesh going off, right. And, like, how do they explain away?
There is a part where Wolverine slashes someone with his claws that's really strong, and it actually rips the arm, like, through the skeleton, so he's just got, like, the skeleton arm coming out of his regular arm. The healing doesn't really work once he's a zombie.
For sure.
It's a very gross
Is he just going to look like regular Wolverine, but you just got to know he's a zombie?
No. If only. So this is so popular within this arc. Like, everyone's going crazy for this, like, reveal that Marvel is like, yes, let's make a shit ton of money and make it its own series. It's a limited series. So we get Marvel Zombies, which takes place on Earth 2149. And there we actually get a reset where we get to see the inciting incident where a Superman ass looking stand-in who's in, like, a yellow with a blue cape, I believe, comes down and everyone's like, hey, what's this guy doing? And then he just starts, like, eating soldiers that show up and they're like, what the hell? And all the heroes come, and when they get bit, they start turning. Doesn't really explain if humans still are smart, but it kind of implies they're not unless they're superpowered. But he was a zombie. I didn't forget to mention it. That's good. and it turns out superhero zombie Chow is regular ass humans, so they kind of go on a tear. Magneto, in a twist, becomes like the savior of mankind and is like protecting regular humans because he's like, well, I guess we have to band together now.
I have to.
And eventually, by the end of this, Silver Surfer shows up as the herald of Galactus, just like he would in the normal universe.
Is Silver Surfer a zombie?
The zombies are right now are all on Earth.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't understand that, but...
So, Silver Surfer, we all know, cosmic powered being, super duper strong, faces off against the zombies, but they eat him. Because they eat him, they get cosmic powers for some reason. Because why not? That's what you do.
Oh man. If I knew that's how it works, I would have, like, I don't know. I would have eaten a professional podcaster years ago.
And they all have this grotesque art that was very big at the time. And Galactus does arrive and he's like, hey, where the hell is Silver Surfer? What did you guys do?
Hey, have you guys seen a silver man? He's got like a board. One might say he's a Silver Surfer.
Right.
He's a friend of mine.
Right. So Galactus shows up. He's like, hey, I don't care that you're zombies. You're still like insects to me. I'm still going to eat the planet. But actually, he gets his ass kicked with their cosmic powers and they eat him. And then they get Galactus powers on top of their cosmic powers, as you can see by these sweet costumes right here.
So these are like, they're basically just a planet of fucked up Kirby's.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is exactly right. So the aftermath of Marvel Zombies, 40 years later, they've eaten all life in the universe. They want to come back to Earth and open a portal. Somehow, even though they've eaten everything in the universe, they make 20 more comics out of this, including miniseries and crossovers.
It's just them sitting around, man, we're hungry.
They also introduce a weird-ass zombie mechanic because they're smart, where they go into the hunger rage if they haven't eaten, but if they have eaten, they calm back down and, like, can think clearly and stuff. So one of them actually discovers that he can just, like, eat some, like, flesh from a normal human and then rip it back out of his stomach and eat it again so he can stay smart.
What? No.
Yeah, it's weird. And they also introduce, this is not a participatory panel, just so you know. They also introduce the mechanic in the same lines where if they have not eaten anything for a really long time, they'll start, like, getting their consciousness back, too. But of course, everything goes haywire because they made 20 more of these. So they also cross over with, you know, Army of Darkness and all kinds of wacky stuff. But hey, out of all this craziness, we did get Zombie Spider Ham. So
wait, so
God is real.
So that's different than regular Spider-Ham.
So Spider-Ham crosses over on accident to the zombie universe and immediately gets eaten and turned into a zombie.
So that's then the core, like, Spider-Ham.
So. I do not believe.
Well, he's like Spider-Ham, but he's a zombie. If you look at the picture.
But you're saying that's like Spider-Ham crosses over into the zombies universe. So the original Spider-Ham, meaning the original Spider-Ham, there's no other Spider-Ham. It's just the zombie one now?
I didn't actually read that one. So I cannot help you.
If anybody knows the fate of Spider-Ham, if you've seen it.
Now it's a progressive team. All right. So that's zombies in a nutshell, because they were fun. I actually read a bunch of them, and they were really stupid, but in a fun way. Like we've said a lot, comics are very dumb.
Oh, they're the worst.
They're so dumb. So but dumb. They're also very good.
Oh, they're amazing.
So there's that. So yeah, that's what I got to say about Marvel Zombies. I'm going to take a big old sip of this coffee.
Mm. Damn. That was a little sip.
It was a tiny sip.
You definitely oversold it.
Oh, wow.
There we go.
That was massive.
That would almost kill me.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. Whew. All right, so this actually brings me to one of my favorite alternate universes, which is the Injustice universe. Have any of you played the games Injustice 1 or 2? Okay.
Yeah.
I know this guy has.
Me.
No, this guy over here.
Sorry. Oh, sorry. I wasn't actually looking what you were pointing at. Sorry.
Kieran, come on. So the important things to know, this is not your dad's Justice League. Because Superman, bad. Joker, dead. Killed by Superman punching him in through the torso. Because Joker tricks him into killing pregnant Lois Lane, who's his wife. So then he blows up Metropolis with an atom bomb concurrently. So Superman decides, you know what? Screw all of you regular people. I'm in charge now, because I'm Superman. Batman, not a big fan of this, of course. And he...
Weird.
Yeah, right? So basically the heroes divide up into, like, Superman versus the Insurgents, which is Batman, and all the people who are still, you know, somewhat reasonable. So that's the initial setup. There's an entire series of years 1 through 5 that lead into the first game. And then there's a second game that has, like, a pretty cool plot if you just play the game. So I'm not going to get into that one. But in year 2, the Green Lanterns step in because Earth's pretty messed up. And, like, they know Superman. They're like, okay, maybe we should just, like, reason with this dude. That didn't work.
Maybe we should just see how the superpowered fascist goes and just kind of see what happens.
So they decide maybe we should step in. But then they're like... Oh, Sinestro's been chilling with Superman. That's probably not good.
That seems bad.
Ooh. Wait, what does Yellow do again? Fear? Oh shit.
Oh, man.
because we get the ridiculously overpowered Superman Yellow Lantern out of this.
Hell.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Because he is basically space Nazi Superman with now Yellow Lantern powers as well. It's pretty messed up.
Right?
And then he starts eating people.
And he's also a pig.
And that brings us to year 3. So the Insurgents always keeps losing because every time they're like about to win, something ups the stakes.
Well, they have to because there's a game.
Right. So they have to keep losing because the game isn't there yet until after year 5. But year 3 is where things get buck wild because what else hurts Superman? Anybody?
Magic.
He's got it. Got it in one. So, magic. John Constantine gets involved, goes, hey, I know all these magic people, but I don't really like you, Batman, so fuck off. but turns out Spectre, for whatever reason, is protecting Superman. Like, why would he do this? He's like the most powerful magic user that they know of.
That's because Spectre is the spirit of justice for God, and as we all know, God is really into fascists.
Oh, man. So... Wow. Bold statement. That aside, they basically go, okay, he's got Spectre. We are stuck basically in the realm, like, these magical realms he can't get into. So anytime they leave, they're susceptible to the Spectre because he can just kind of appear wherever the hell he wants. So they go, hey... Nightwing's like, hey, I died because I tripped over a rock and cracked my head while fighting Robin. I'm dead, man. Now I'll go check this
out. Sorry, he tripped
over... Oh, sorry, did I not mention that?
He trips on a rock.
He's fighting Damian. Robin.
Yeah.
They're fighting and he trips.
Yeah.
He smashes his head on a rock and dies.
Okay.
and then he becomes Deadman.
Is that all you have to do to get superpowers?
Yeah.
You will kind of already have to be, like, well-known in the superhero community, I think. Because Deadman was like, hey, Nightwing,
I was gonna
were pals. Let's join forces.
Because I was going to go and find a rock.
No.
I didn't realize that Deadman was, like, a thing already.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought he literally, he tripped, he died, and he's like, I'm not done being a superhero. Changes his name to Deadman.
Yeah. Yeah, when you die, you lose all, like, imagination and creativity.
Yes. I mean, fair, your brain has been smashed by a rock.
That's the most thing about me.
So,
dead and a man.
So, Nightwing Deadman goes into space and tries to fight Spectre and loses spectacularly.
Because there's a game.
There's a game they gotta get to. So the magical users are like, okay, we're running out of options. There's one guy left who can beat Superman and the Spectre, and that is Trigon, who is Raven's dad, basically...
I thought you were about to say Trigon.
Yes, Trigon. Vash the Stampede shows up and starts, you know, with his pistols and whatnot. It's been a while.
I thought Trigon was on with the drills.
No, that's Gurren Lagann, right?
Oh, that's Gurren Lagann.
Yeah. All right, so anyway, back to this. So it turns out Trigon gets involved to finally kill everybody, and Spectre reveals himself. It was actually Mr. Mixelplix the whole time. It wasn't Spectre at all.
Of course. God, so, how stupid could I have been, dude?
Oops, I had that animation backwards, but nice. That's okay. So Mr. Mixelplix fights Trigon, basically destroying magic for a while in their world. Kind of screws everything up. But the real fun part was just Mr. Mixelplix being like, hey, Superman is my guy to mess with. Nobody else gets to mess with him. And that is why they were unable to defeat him in year three. Year four involves the gods, but it's the characters aren't that different. Same with year five. Like, year three is the most buck wild because magic getting involved. So that's where I'm going to end my portion of today's discussion on multiverses. And I'm going to turn things over to Kieran.
Okay.
So let before you... thank you. It is very warm in the seat because the vent is hitting.
I love to sweat. So. I was just saying the other day, what I love more than anything... Holy shit, that's so hot. What I love more than anything is being damp.
Yes.
And really warm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Go on.
Like an armpit.
Is that working?
Not yet.
Is it damp?
No sick.
Oh. Yeah, there we go.
What?
Okay. Where's my mouse? Here we go. Okay.
So I'm not really... I took more of like a broad approach than Jonah. So we're just kind of talking about like what makes multiverse stories like good, you know? Or bad, because, you know, comics are bad. So I want to talk about not necessarily like my favorite quote-unquote multiverse story, but one that I think is a pretty good like... indicator for some of the stuff about multiverse stories. So let's look at some characters. Flash from Flashpoint, which you can tell that I've gone through these slides ahead of time because I know exactly what's on all of them. So Flashpoint was like this very sudden move that DC did back in 2011 where they were like, man, you know what? We're making tons of money off the New 52 and that's like really cool and good and awesome, but it would be even better if we made more money. And so they just rebooted everything because that's always the best way to make more money. And so Flash goes back in time, saves his mum, kills the Reverse Flash, and just totally fucks up the entire timeline and creates the Flashpoint universe, which we're going to talk about. It is honestly one of the most buck wild things I've ever read in my whole life because everything is just completely tipped on its head, totally just destroyed. So Superman is a little anemic boy who's kept in a vault underground for the last like 40 years because he was picked up in another state, not by the Kents, but by the government who are like, we don't understand this. We're going to shove it away. And so he's just like this real thin dude who just has no powers because he never got into the sun. So... and then I think Aquaman is evil, Wonder Woman's evil, Batman is actually Thomas Wayne, the Joker is Martha Wayne because Bruce Wayne got shot in the alley, and then the Flash has no powers, the other one I'll talk about in a little bit. So
Yeah, there we go.
Apparently I got the order a little bit wrong. So one of the things that we're going to talk about, and not necessarily my favorite character.
That counts as we fucked up a slide, by the way.
Yes. So we're going to talk about Wonder Woman in the Flashpoint universe. So Wonder Woman normally is very loving, has a sense of justice, right and wrong, very powerful superhero. In this, big praying mantis energy, because she basically has sex with Aquaman, and then Mira is like, hey, could you not have sex with my husband? That would be really chill and good if you didn't do that. And she's like, cool, cuts Mira's head off, and then sends it to Aquaman to be like, yo, fuck you, because I'm a huge bitch. And then she destroys half of Europe. Aquaman basically wipes out the other half with a giant tidal wave, and the Flashpoint, like Earth, is dominated by this huge conflict between Wonder Woman on one side and Aquaman on the other side, as they basically fight over this one time that they boned down, and it wasn't really good. So, like, I personally don't like this version of Wonder Woman, because I like the original character so much, and I think, like, having a version of this character is, I don't know, I personally just don't really like it, because I always hold Wonder Woman a little bit higher than all the other characters, because she's so good. And so to kind of see her like this is a little bit, but I do think it's a good representation of what you can do with multiverse stories, which is take something that's already established and be like, God, man, what if we just took this as far as we possibly could? And it literally didn't matter, because we're in the multiverse. Mm-hmm. And so you get to really explore some new ideas, new characters, new traits and new concepts. And to me, that's super exciting, especially with regards to like DC and Marvel superhero comics, because so much of it is really entrenched in like this old lore and this old kind of established, facts. And so you get to kind of like stretch and pull things in new and different ways and, you know, just really like have a lot of fun with it. And so I don't necessarily think that this version of Wonder Woman is very good, but I do respect it, let's say, for what they were trying to do. You can put that square in twice if you like. So DC Metal is another one that I really enjoy, where basically there's like the universe, and then underneath it,
I know, yeah. Why, because you like how much the Joker or the Batman Who Laughs
fucking fight you with my bare hands. He's also in here as well. So basically there's like a dark multiverse, and in this dark multiverse there's a whole bunch of different versions of Batman, right? And they're all like evil Batman. This one I just wanted to talk about because it's so fucking weird. So they all got their own one shot explaining where they came from. This one, the Red Death, is like the evil Flash Batman, and I shit you not, this is exactly what happens. He's like, hey Flash, I need to do more crime solving faster. Give me the Speed Force. Flash is like, no, look, I can't really do that. That's not how this works. And he's like, okay, fuck you. Shoots him with the cold gun, straps him to the front of the Batmobile, and then drives at like 88 miles per hour or whatever, and sucks the Speed Force out of the Flash through the Batmobile into himself and becomes the Red Death. And I was reading this thing being like, what the fuck is happening? What is going on? And so, like, this, like, that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about, where you're just, like, you can have the dumbest ideas, but it's totally fine, because it's the multiverse. Who cares? Like, you can right. You can just run with it. Just another transition for you. And then there's stuff like this. So this is the Green Lantern in the Flashpoint universe. And he's a boring bastard, man, and I hate him. Yeah. There's three issues centered around this man, the Green Lantern. Now, in the original canon, obviously, Green Lantern flies around space, shoots a green ring. In this... Jonah, ask me what he does in the Flashpoint.
Hey, what does Hal Jordan do in Flashpoint?
He's a pilot.
I mean, he's always a pilot.
No, he's just a pilot. Oh, just a pilot. What? Like, I don't understand this.
Why does he need three issues, then?
I don't know. He didn't do anything.
Show him, like, go to dinner?
He literally dies at the end.
Spoiler.
Yeah, he like, well, okay, so he drops a bomb, but the bomb doesn't...
On himself?
He fucking should have. So he's trying to drop a bomb, I think on Aquaman's army, and it doesn't engage, so he's like, what I should do is I should just fly the plane straight in with the bomb.
How
and
bombs work, dodge JPEG, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And so he blows up and he dies, but for the rest of it, he's just a pilot. And this is a really disappointing example of a multiverse story, because you have an existing character who's really interesting, and then your alternative story is to just make him
less interesting.
It's like, oh, what does Lex Luthor do in this universe? Oh, here's six issues of him being an Uber driver.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's him sitting in his hotel room in his underwear watching Naruto. Your son.
Yeah, I mean, I'd read
Our Beautiful Boy.
I'd read that book.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I say this is kind of like white bread fan fiction, if, you know, multiverse is like real fan fiction. It's kind of like, what if JoJo's Bizarre Adventure was straight? You know, like, that's just...
Speaking of, I was going to talk about Steel Ball Run, but I decided I don't know enough about it. So maybe next time. Hey!
Nice!
All right. You take your pick. I'll move the mic out of your way.
So that's, this is Mike Urban. What's that? So this is Mike Urban. He's coming up to pick his first prize. While you do that, Mike, I'll continue because I'm only got a couple more left.
That went away. Answer, man. Can you hit back on the arrow?
No. I can. So the Batman Who Laughs.
Oh, sweet! Finally. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mike. But like, what if the Batman was evil? And this is my biggest problem with multiverse stories, and it's kind of like the zombies thing that we were talking about before, is that, like, you have a really cool and interesting idea, which in this case is the Batman basically is infected with Joker toxin in the dark multiverse, and
it's a combination of the fear gas and the toxin, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so he goes, like, completely insane. And it's like, okay, cool. I can deal with this in limited doses. He now has his own series. He's in the main canon. He's in the Justice League comic. He's in the Batman comic. And it's like...
He's also turned all of the different iterations of Robin into, like, these little ghoul children.
Yeah.
That, like, kind of look like the hyenas that Harley Quinn normally has, except Robin.
Yes. So, which is interesting. But then when you have something like that, or you have something like zombies, and you're just like, man, see that horse?
Yeah.
Fuck that horse. I'm going to kill that horse, and then I'm going to beat it. I'm going to keep beating that dead horse over and over and over again until it's just a pile of mush on the ground.
Uh-huh.
Like, and this is what they've done with the Batman Who Laughs. Like, it's the biggest problem with multiverse stories because they're really interesting and they're very, let's be honest here, they're very profitable. They make a lot of money. But when you take them...
Because you can usually read just that. And,
exactly.
You can take your movie knowledge of Batman into a multiverse story and, like, be fine.
And be totally fine, yeah. But when you just repeat it over and over and over and over again...
It's money.
Exactly. Exactly. But it loses that freshness, yes, you know? It loses that Christmas. Now, I did have this slide in here. And this is one of my favorite multiverse stories, Infinite Crisis. But I'm not really going to talk about that because we're running out of time. So...
It did a cartwheel.
Wow, cool.
We're sorry.
I haven't used PowerPoint in a very long time. So. Hey, want to get in all the movies. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So multiverse stories let you push the boundaries without fucking with the continuity, which I really enjoy. But I guess for kind of a selfish reason, some of my favorite ones, like Infinite Crisis, just really reinforce for me... I guess one of my favorite things about superhero stories in particular is that no matter where you go in the universe, whether that be the regular multiverse, the dark multiverse, or any kind of alternate timeline, heroes are heroes, and people will continue to do good things and try to save the world and try to, you know, do what is right and just. And I think for me personally, I enjoy having that idea reinforced. And so to be able to read a variety of different characters being presented in different ways, but ultimately have the same kind of ethos behind them it's very nice for me to read that. And that's why I really enjoy multiverse stories and why I fucking hate multiverse stories that are like, but what if everyone was evil? Fuck off. That's me.
Okay. Thank you, cool. Kieran.
Fantastic timing.
Is it?
Yeah, you're very good at Wiki. I did.
Oh.
And I did my PowerPoint.
This was literally done last minute.
What's that?
This was literally last minute then.
Oh my God. It was absolutely. I don't do anything
on
earlier
time.
Than that. On time.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere even close. Give me a second here.
So I have to say one thing I realized fairly recently, which I think I may have mentioned this on the show. I can't remember. I realized when people are like, so what was the first comic you paid your own money for? And then like, well, I had older brothers. At least one of them read a lot of comics, so I mostly read his.
And I realized my first comic that I ever bought was Spectacular Spider-Ham. So that is the most on-brand thing I think I have ever done in my life. And it might be why I like the multiverse stuff so much. You ready?
Yeah, so when Kieran and Jonah asked me to participate in this panel and talk about multiverse stuff, I, of course, asked, you know, what the rules were. And then I threw him out the window.
Fair. We assumed you would not listen to us.
Absolutely. And you also
why
should
would
have assumed,
anyone listen to us?
If you also should have assumed that if you were going to ask me to come on here and be part of your panel, I'm going to spend the whole time talking about Power Rangers, because of course Woo! I am. Particularly Woo! The Power Rangers bootleg universe, which was a technically a fan film against the rules, but that's fine. It takes place in kind of a post-apocalyptic version of Power Rangers universe. It plays with the canon a little bit. It still uses the original power set, but uses the Machine Empire as the villains. The Machine Empire has taken over, integrated themselves with the Earth's technology. You know, put out by Joseph Kahn. If you never heard of him, he did the Power Rangers bootleg universe.
Dang. What else has he done?
I don't know. Rocky is, I don't know why I'm looking behind me. I can look right here.
Yeah. That picks up better in the mic, too.
Rocky is evil now because the Machine Empire is.
Yeah, I know. We were trying to like encourage you to start being on shows sometimes, like podcasts in general. Like, it's fun. You should be on some.
I think I'll try it out.
Okay, cool.
Rocky's evil now because the Machine Empire has taken over the world's technology, and it decides that that's just easier. And when this fan film opens, he's taken Kimberly hostage and is interrogating her about the location of Tommy. He's captured, like I said, during his interrogation, you find out that she and Jason were about to get married and that Jason was murdered by Bulk and Skull on their wedding day. They come up and he's like, they have massive, Bulk and Skull have massive Juggalo energy. Nice. They come in and he's like, we're tired of getting made fun of by you fucks. And like just like light up the pickup truck that they're making out in.
My Power Rangers knowledge is a little bit hazy, but aren't Bulk and Skull the two guys who hang out like at the ice cream shop or whatever?
Yeah, they're the comedic effect, nerds, you know, cool. Yeah,
and then
absolutely.
They murder people.
And now they have guns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, now they have guns. And
now they're incels.
Kimberly laying on the ground is like, Bulk and Skull, you sold us out before you get the pistol whip. And also, did I mention this stars James Vanderbeek? I feel like there's a really famous like meme image of James Vanderbeek crying, and we could just replace it with this
one. Oh man, that's so much better. Yeah.
He is the Green Ranger in this universe.
He still doesn't want our life.
Oh, well, yeah. What? So Zach, you might be wondering where he's at. He got famous off of a line of exercise videos that you'll see in the next slide. And now spends his time just doing blow like crazy. This is hip hop keto, Zach Taylor. And then he
for like 2 seconds, I thought you were talking about the actor in the film. As opposed to the character of the Power Ranger. I was like, okay, all right, I like where this is going.
So are you saying this counts as Kieran doesn't get a reference?
Yes.
Well, I made sure that was going to happen.
Okay, excellent.
So they have an entire section that follows Zach as he travels to Japan to find out who has been bootlegging his hip-hop keto tapes. And he finds them. They have this whole fight scene with some really stylized subtitles.
Is it in another language?
It is, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it's not just in English, and they're like, well, we're going to start putting it up on screen.
I wouldn't have been surprised.
What I failed to mention about this is that, like, you know, on like Power Rangers, all their weapons, they fire like lasers and it's like sparks. They're just straight bullets in this universe. They're firing like Halo ass. I think they might have even just ripped the sound effects directly from it. There's some fantastic lines in this. The Machine Empire had better meth. Our alliance with the Machine Empire will bring a whole new level of synergy with Cranston, Lockheed Martin, Billy Cranston. Billy Cranston, the Blue Ranger, is so smart. He ends up merging with Lockheed Martin. if you get a chance, I absolutely suggest that you go watch this because it's just completely off the rails. I both broke the rules and stretched them, and I consider Sentai, the Japanese version of Power Rangers, to be an alternate universe to Power Rangers. It's the same fight scenes. They use a lot of the same shots. It's carried over, and it's just by and large just a much better universe. And that's it. some examples. This is Tokuger, and it's a more recent one. It never got a U.S. adaption. They are all their powers are based around trains.
Oh, thank God! I was looking at that, and I was like, oh man, I really want to say, is that the train one? But I figured I'd let you.
They're absolutely train rangers, and they have you can't see the morphers on their wrist, but they have little train cars that they. They can pull out and swap with each other to change colors, and it's the most confusing thing you've ever seen in any fight scene. Because like the Red Ranger, one point he comes. I know not technically. They're just gonna get called Rangers, but they go like he goes up to the other one and he swaps, and then that one goes and swaps with somebody else, and by the end they're all completely different colors, and their mentor character, which is a train conductor with a robotic parrot, is like hey, eventually of course. He just gets fed up and says don't make changes unnecessarily, and like pulls a lever and they all get changed back to who they are originally. A staple of Sentai and Power Rangers is the ability to combine all your weapons into one like major cannon. It's what they use as their finishing move, usually whenever they're finishing off a monster on the ground. This one, they put all their weapons together, and as they're charging them, the monsters are like, no, we're not just going to sit here and watch you guys put like assemble this weapon.
What? But there's rules.
Well, exactly. They go and they start to charge them. And a line just appears on the ground, and it says, "Please stand behind the line." And the monsters are like, "Oh fuck, okay, yeah." they back up and stand behind the line, and they charge up their weapon. And as they're getting ready to fire, a voice comes out and it says, "Please mind the blast," and it destroys all of them. And it's just fantastic and over the top, and something you don't get with American Sentai.
So did this not get an American release because of lobbying by the automobile industry?
Well, the reason that they decided it wasn't going to get an American release is because trains aren't really a part of everyday life for most Americans.
So
kids,
yes,
they decided.
So it trickles down. Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah. Trickle down. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The one time the trickle down works.
Can I ask who this guy is?
Oh, we're getting there.
Okay.
this one is, yep, Zyuden Sentai Kyoryuger, however you want to say it. I'm saying it wrong, absolutely. But it's dinosaurs.
Kyoryuger!
Again.
It's not straightforward, right?
There's a few too many dinosaur Sentai series, but this is definitely one of my favorites. Because there are a lot of rangers. One is a ghost.
Uh-huh. Go on. Mm-hmm.
Another's a Viking, like a legit actual Viking. And a geriatric. Okay. He's basically like a super old guy. He every time he comes out to fight, he'll get a couple of good hits in before his back gives out and he has to stop.
Oh, I love that. For a moment there, I was really horrified at the thought of like there was a teenager who turned into a ghost, one who turned into a Viking, and then one who just got really old.
Well, so they end up having to second from the left is who the old ranger was. They had to replace him with his daughter. So they fixed that, you know, after a while. The Viking on the right, whose name escapes me right now, but he is an American actor. Mm-hmm. And his Japanese is very awful. I don't know if you guys are familiar with
like best example I can think of is Food Wars. The,
oh my god, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, the character who's like this, like the, you know, like
yeah, that yeah,
kind yeah, of, yeah. Yeah, he does a lot of that.
Favorite character.
And then he throws in like English lines every now and then. So he'll be like, "Thank you, lady," like just in the middle of an entirely Japanese show.
And when things go real bad, he's like, "Oh my god,
yeah, oh my god." And his Zord is Akidan. The dinosaurs all have like a mind of their own, and they have to make friends with them before they can use them. And in order to get like Akidan is not he's not very well motivated. So whenever he wants to get him going, he's like Akidan, come on!
Dang. So they're also influenced by New Japan Wrestling. It sounds like it
is very good.
This guy knows what I'm talking about.
Another one of my favorites is Gokiger. I'll go back here. They have probably the best style.
They have the best outfits so far.
It's very good. This one is, oh god, Super Mega Force, I think, is the American
that sounds about right
version of it. it's really cool. They get access to basically like they're pirates, and they find a treasure chest full of keys that can be plugged into their morphers to let them take the form of any Sentai that's existed since 1975.
Wow.
So like, and which is when the series started. So they get every single one. So it's really cool, kind of like I think this was an anniversary season, so they wanted to get all that stuff in there.
The really fucked up thing is that they have access to all of the Power Rangers, and they still cannot find the One Piece.
No
one's gonna find the One Piece ever. Oda's never gonna die.
I thought the One Piece was gonna be the friendships we made along the way.
I'm flying to Japan and I am killing that man with my bare hands.
And then you're gonna stand over his corpse and say, "Luffy's my son."
Look at me. I'm Akira Oda now.
Is there a Mike doesn't get a reference on here somewhere?
Yeah, I think so. Somewhere.
But the thing I really like about this one is that they are not interested in saving the world at all. Like, that's not their motivation. They start with their powers, so there's no, like, when you think of, like, the hero's journey, like, there's no call to adventure for these guys.
They skip volume one and go straight to the middle.
I take that back. There is a call to adventure. The only reason they get involved in fighting monsters is because they're eating in a restaurant, one crashes through the wall and ruins their curry.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. I would fight monsters for that.
They get so mad about this that they're like, "Okay, no, we're gonna get revenge for our food." The other great thing is the legendary battle, which of course, like, is because they don't reuse actual characters between seasons really much in the way that Power Rangers did. So like when you look at the Power Rangers version of this battle during Super Mega Force, They're like, "Oh, all the previous Rangers showed up to help us." But it's like, okay, well, three of those Rangers were all technically the same person, but they're all still there. So like, and then like when they change their powers in Super Mega Force, they're like, their Zordon kind of figure, Gosei, is like, who introduces himself as like, was like, "Yeah, well, I'm a friend of Zordon."
"Don't worry about it."
"I'm a friend of Zordon, but he's in Canada. You haven't met him."
My mentor, who's in Canada. He's basically like, he's like, "Oh yeah, you can have all these powers," but because they're reusing footage, they're reusing Sentai series that didn't happen over here. And he's like, "Oh, you can use all the previous Power Rangers, except even ones that never existed before. It's fine." And, yeah, it was just super bastardized. But here they actually got, in the Japanese version, they got tons of the old actors, which a lot of them, you know, going back to 75, a lot of them are getting up there.
Yeah.
And
are they still wearing all the spandex and everything? Or?
I mean, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, it's been a while since I've seen it, but I'm pretty sure that, like, a lot of them were still getting in the spandex because they got helmet off shots and stuff. And they're, I mean, it's... I don't have nostalgia for it, but I feel like if I did, that would have been fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But that's my thing.
All right. Thank you, Mike. All right,
thanks,
Mike. All right. So, Kieran, you didn't talk about the one I thought you were going to talk about.
What was that?
Super Garfield.
Oh, that's true, because I kind of... No, that's a lie. I was going to say, I ran out of time to talk about Supergirl.
I've been real busy lately.
Yeah, I've been really busy. Blah, blah, blah. But the fact is, I forgot. But Super Garfield is a real series. Yes. And it is about Garfield and all the other characters. And all the other characters in the Garfield universe. And they have superpowers. And... I've never read anything more than like a couple preview pages for it, but it is one of the greatest things I've ever read, because it's not like they are anthropomorphic versions of the characters. They are Garfield, but he also turns into a superhero.
Also Odie.
And Odie as well. Odie Normal? Also, and Normal, yes, and...
All right, come on
fuck
up.
Fuck you, no!
But I was so long to say Odie, and I heard Oda when you did your one piece file. I was so thrilled, and then you ripped it out from under me. Pepper. Okay, that's a compliment where I come from my group on a farm.
Okay.
I'm taking your coffee.
That's not mine.
Can I have your coffee?
Yeah, fuck, I don't care.
Thank you.
What a prize. Dang. Thank you, Ray.
Finally, I've gotten someone to drink my spit.
Delicious. How is the... I forgot something that I wanted to show. Okay, do we think the audio is on here? Have we tried
Probably
it?
Probably not good, but let's try it.
You know what? We'll try it, because this is not from the Sentai version. This is the Dino Charge version. There's a part, you know, Kyogre is a... basically, they... like I said, they make friends with their dinosaurs, and the Red Ranger gets possessed by his, and basically like thinks he's a dinosaur. man, this one—that's
a mood.
Yeah.
In this one, something very similar happens, but the way they resolve it is much different. Mm. And if I can get audio, well, okay, yeah. Can you guys hear that? Can you?
Yeah. Okay.
Complete and total silence. Oh, I can. Yeah. Can we close that door?
Adam, please.
Just real quick, Adam.
I love you.
Thank you. I love you. You're my...
All right, come on up.
Come on.
He called it first, so you're next. So come on up.
Pick a prize, any prize.
You didn't see it? Okay.
That's very
good. Probably fine.
Afterlife Without You is very good. Thank you, Sam.
Yes.
Oh.
Be careful. He's my friend. Oh, my God.
They animate his mask too, which is like kind of impressive, but also like,
wow, look at it go.
Wow.
I'm not your enemy. Damn, you're right. This is good.
I'm your dad.
Whoa! Whoa!
Wow.
Here we go.
Wow. I don't even know where to go from there.
Yeah, no. When you started playing that, I was like, no, I see where this is going.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
All right. Well, I think that's going to about wrap it up.
Yeah,
we do need to mention a few things.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we have a Patreon as well. You should come to that. No, you should go to that.
On your internet.
On your internet, yeah.
It's clobbering time.
Hell yeah.
All right.
What would you like, Ben? Ben from Transformation Sequence, which is another podcast.
Oh, yeah, you should watch Transformation Sequence.
You should watch?
You should listen to Transformation Sequence. Watch along.
If it was a syndicated cable show,
I would watch that.
Thank you. A lot of us are edging.
So, yes,
hey, considering that I really fucked you over last night with the donut thing, what do you want me to say? What are you missing?
Well,
if it isn't the waitress from Red Robin.
Let's go ahead and pick. Do you have two of them?
Shazam.
Okay. Okay, we might be running out of prizes.
We've only got three left. One, two, three. Yep,
okay.
Done.
No, that's okay. I was going for a laptop.
We can't have this one.
This is not okay if you have this one. Are you sure?
You get Deadpool the Duck. It's very good. I almost kept that for me, all but right, I decided
gonna
not to.
You're going
to
swap?
Okay. Because I'm going to have you guys.
Oh, that was cute.
Okay, excellent. All right. So patreon.com/inksandissues. You should go there. You should give us a dollar. If everyone in this room gave us a dollar, I don't know how many dollars we have, but it seems like a lot.
Well, if we got all of those dollars, then we would be fully paying for the show, which would be
great.
Amazing.
It wouldn't cost us anything
right. to run the show. Special shout out to Logan over there he's our editor.
Yeah.
So your dollars.
Your dollars go to me, and then I just give them to him for editing the show. So you know I'm not just buying blow like I usually would be.
Channeling your inner Zach Taylor.
But yes. So we did actually just unlock our first goal, which is I will be streaming from twitch.tv/inksandissues, easy to remember, some comic book related video games. And the first one I'll be doing when I get back from this is going to be The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which apparently there was a tie-in game for PS4, and nobody knew, not even me.
So you can find us on Twitter. We are at Inks and Issues. I am at Mr. K_Bennett.
I actually just updated mine. So if you've listened to every other episode, throw that Twitter URL right into the garbage, because mine is now a real Jonah, unlike all those fake Jonahs.
Can you go back and edit all those out?
I really need those dollars now. Michael?
I'm at the Mike Bachman. Hi.
Yeah, and thank you again. Yeah, I know scheduling is a pain.
No, I fucking love it.
All right. Well, that's it from us.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much for coming.
Do that podcast again.
Okay, so what I wanted to start is... Thanks very much for coming, everybody. We should probably get out of the room.
We also love you.
And we love you, too.